Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Saw his location. I was like, oh, maybe he dropped Katie off. And then I checked it again. And then I checked it again the next day. And it was still there. And I was like, oh,
yeah,
maybe
what
he
left.
And I was like, oh, oh. And then I woke up the next day and I checked his location. I was like, oh, oh.
And I was like, oh.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. That was Sheena Shea from this week's Vanderpump Rules. She sat down with the group to tell them all how she discovered that Katie Maloney had slept with the TomTom manager, Max. And it all happened because her husband, Thighs, over there at the other side of the bar, started telling people that he heard that Katie had hooked up with Max, and there's this double standard he was pointing out. But Brock was super messy. Brock was super messy on The Valley last week, too, when he tried to get Jax to pants that man. And so Brock is really stepping up in the reality TV arts. And so I just have to salute those Thighs this week because I'm really proud of him for doing something on this show because we're getting some new storylines. And I felt reinvigorated this week. I was so excited by this week's Vanderpump Rules. And then I even really loved The Valley this week. I don't know what was going on, but I loved it. And I was like, oh, oh, which, by the way, Sheena was totally channeling Sloppy Joseph in that moment when she was telling that whole group and she was doing that kind of character-y voice. Like, I was like, whoa, oh. And it was so Joe-coded. Do you know what I'm saying? And Sheena earlier in the episode had just been bullying Joe. And so then to see her sit down at that table and just act like Joe, I was like, the spirit of Sloppy Joseph just got inside of Sheena. And by the way, I do think Joe deserves a raise. I mean, I think it's hard to watch sometimes, but I do believe that she's giving something to the show that I was not expecting and that's throwing me off a little bit. And I like that when I'm watching these shows because it's like I need different flavors, different kind of things happening. Now, I'm not saying I need Joe around for the rest of time. I'm just saying maybe for this season, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to embrace it. And then we're going to have to probably move on from it immediately after the season. However, right now, I am enjoying the whatever she's bringing to the show. So I'm grateful. And I'm grateful for Shishi for channeling Joe in that moment. Oh! Oh! Oh, I can't get over it. I can't get over it. And I needed all my shows to be on good standing this week. Anyway, I needed it because a few weeks ago, you might remember, I had some sinus issues, which was really annoying, all on my nasal that was frustrating me. I did a Teladoc appointment and they basically prescribed me with those cough drops that are laced with melatonin because they don't really give you anything over the Teladoc appointment. You know what I'm saying? And so I had not really been taking many meds because I wasn't getting any meds. But then it went away and then it felt like it came back. And then I was diagnosed with bronchitis, which was an issue. So then I finally got to like the end where I just couldn't take it anymore. And yesterday I was like, I need to go to the urgent care. I have to go. I'm too congested. I got the sore thing, throat thing, a cough thing. And on the podcast, I try to edit out the coughs. I don't want you guys to hear that, but it's hard to record when I'm coughing with bronchitis. Anyway, so I get to this new urgent care doctor and I tell him, I'm like, look, sir, I have to get better. I have to work. It's really important to me. I have to get back to work. And so he asked me what I do. I'm just meeting this man for the first time. And I'm looking at his eyes and he's thinking I'm going to say something really physical because I was laying it on thick. I was like, you need to provide me with some relief. I was like, I need something. I have got to get back to work. So he's thinking I'm going to say like, I work in a coal mine or teach youth to rock climb, you know, but then I have to tell him, I'm like, actually, I record a podcast from the comforts of my home where I watch TV. So it's not so physical. But I says, Doc, you know, you don't understand. Vanderpump Rules just premiered a spinoff. Mia and Gordon are on the rocks in Potomac. Those cast members over there in Potomac are dropping like flies. Sierra's finally having a likable season on Summer House. Like, I have to get my ass up to work. Us Bravo fans are busy. So the doctor decides to shoot me with a steroid shot right in the caboose, and he sends me on my way, along with my antibiotics and some other stuff. So I start to drive to the pharmacy. I wait at the drive-through pharmacy forever for the stuff to be ready for me, and this is post-getting the shot of the steroid. So then I get my stuff at the pharmacy, and I'm finally making my way home, And I feel on the rest of the way home, I'm like white knuckling it, right? Like I'm holding onto that steering wheel with dear life. I felt like the Kool-Aid man. I could just run through walls. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it was, that's how I was feeling on the way back. So then I finally get home and my eyes are wider than Ramona. My voice is still deeper than Countess Luann after a pack of Marlboro Lights and a weekend bender in Palm Beach. And I'm talking to my boyfriend Matt now when I get home, a mile a minute. Now, Matt was in the military and he would work part of what he was doing there. He was in a medical area or something. And so anyway, he knows a lot about medical stuff. And so he asked me, he's like, what did they shoot you with? And I told him, I was like, oh, they gave me this steroid and I don't know what it is. Like I knew the name. He said the name of it, the doctor, but I didn't look it up or anything. So I didn't know anything about this drug before they shot me in the ass with it. Anyway, so I tell him, I'm like, I don't know anything about it. What is it like? And so when I tell him, I already see like the color leave Matt's face when I tell him the name of this steroid that they had given me. And he basically just like drops everything in the room and like walks away, closes the door behind him. Like he had to get out of the room. He was just tired of me. He was, had it. He realized that I was on, what's that saying? On one, or I was too hyper. He didn't want to deal with me in that way. And so he just leaves, close the door behind him. And I think, uh-oh. So I grab my phone to do some recon. And I'm like, maybe I should look up that steroid, but maybe I shouldn't. Instead of searching the internet about it, I decided I should just text Matt and say, should I be worried? I have to record my show. And Matt just texts me back and he says, I hope the listeners will appreciate the energy. So anyway, all that's to say, I'm afraid to Google the drug the questionably licensed MD fella in Burbank stuck up my ass. But this week we salute him, and I hope he knows that Everything Iconic listeners will hold him close to our hearts, one of which is beating at the rate of fresh cocaine right now. So that's where we're at. I don't know. That gave me so much energy. I'm not even on Diet Coke today, you guys. It's just that steroid chip, but it made me feel better. However, I don't know to what end. To what end? Okay, where are we at? Vanderpump Rules, supersized episode. We open on James and Allie at the house. James is picking out Allie's clothes. What was that about? I didn't expect to hear that. Then we cut to the scene with Tom and Billy Lee. And I got to talk about T. So remember T was introduced a couple weeks ago I don't remember when it was. It was Billy Lee's friend. And I thought it was Billy Lee's significant other. I didn't realize it was just a friend. So I think I got confused on that. So apologies. But apparently it's a Billy Lee's friend who we're trying to set up with Tom Sandoval. But I don't think it's anything more than producers setting T up with Tom Sandoval. Like, I don't think there's any sort of spark or connection between T and Tom Sandoval. It was like very clearly like, we need to get Tom on a date. So who can we get? And then Billy's like, I got someone. We'll bring in this 25-year-old woman. And I hope that T is doing well, because I feel bad for T on some level. She showed up on the show, and then later on in the episode, she got to hear all the business from Ariana. But I mean, I don't envy anyone who's on a TV show on a date with Tom Sandoval, because it doesn't seem like the right place to be, especially right so closely after Scandal. Anyway, it's not Billy Lee's significant other. And Tom reveals to Billy Lee that he wants to buy out Ariana at full market value. And he says he sent some legal letter. But by the way, I also watched the after show, and on the after show, you learn so many things. It's on YouTube, I think. But I learned on the after show that he just sent a letter of intent, and it was like missing a lot of key information, like about the furniture, and they never did an appraisal. So although he said at full market value, there was no appraisal. So I don't know. I do think Ariana should leave the house. But I also question why nobody in this group is just saying, Tom, why aren't you leaving the house? I feel like everybody should have rallied around and said, Tom, you need to get your ass out of that house. Like, you're the one who did all this. You cheated everything. I feel like it's so strange that we're all expecting, because even in most traditional relationships, which I know these shows aren't showing us so many traditional relationships, but I feel like in traditional relationships, like, the person who cheats leaves the house if they cheat. So it's like, why is everybody not saying that to Tom and pressuring Tom to leave the house? Instead, I feel like everybody's pressuring Ariana. And look, again, if I was Ariana, I would get out of the house. She's got to, for the safety of Maya, justice for Maya. And I have so many thoughts about that Maya situation with the dog. How did the dog get into all this shit? This is great. Let's just get into the Maya of it all, because we love Queen Maya, the dog. She's fantastic. And we learned that one time Maya had accidentally gotten in some laxatives of Tom's and maybe some hair dye. Was that what? Did I miss your? Maybe I misheard that. But the dog got in some laxatives. I do know that much. And they said something like 500 laxatives. That's like a Costco-sized bottle. Who has 500 laxatives? But I would think you just have that little-ass bottle of a laxative, right? Like, I don't have a 500-pack of laxatives. Like, what's a 500-pack of laxatives? Does anyone need that? How much shit do you gotta get out of you? How much shit's shoved up there? You know, you need to get it out. I understand that, but a 500 pack that the dog could get into. And then that's one thing. And Tom is not paying attention to Maya, but is seemingly his dog a little bit too. I know it's Ariana's dog, but like Tom helped raise the dog for so many years. So how's he letting the dog get into all that stuff? Furthermore, why is Ariana leaving chicken bones in the house, in her bedroom? She said she left the takeout by her bed and Tom let the dog in. But I'm like, why is the takeout up by the bed? Like, you are a grown woman. You need to get rid of that food out of the bedroom. I know these people are out late sometimes, but you can't just be leaving chicken bones or chicken carcasses, animal carcasses around the house. That's triggering for Maya, I'm sure. She's an animal herself. So she don't need to be seeing the animal carcass around the house. She's probably already been through enough. And looking around and thinking, oh, fuck, like, what are they going to do to me next? And then they lock her in the room with an animal carcass. And that poor dog is probably like, what the fuck? You know, they already tried to load me up with them laxatives. So we need justice for Maya. And look, after that thing happened, that's when I think for sure Ariana should have just gotten out of that house. And again, I get all the logistics of like the legal and the money. And I do believe he ultimately should have been the first one to move out. I get that. But at this point, if the dog's in danger, you know, Maya, in the words of your mother, you in danger, girl. Remember last week on the show, she kept saying, you in danger, girl. And I'm saying that to Maya this week. Maya, you in danger, girl. So we need to get Maya safety and we need to stop putting the chicken bones or leaving the takeout by the bed. You know, I can't even have, you know, this is how I was raised. Linda Pellegrino raised me. You do not have kitchen dishes in the sink before you go to bed. You always clean the dishes. I can't go to sleep. If I know dishes are in the sink, in my kitchen sink. This is in a kitchen where you keep food. If I know that there are any dirty dishes in that sink, I cannot go to sleep at night. Like, my eyes will not close. They just simply will not close. And I will have to go clean the dishes. Let alone, I can't even imagine. I couldn't even close my eyes on my pillow at night knowing that there was dirty food dishes next to me. Maybe when you're super hungover, it might be a situation that you got stuff at night and it's there in the morning. But then even in the morning, you'd grab it and throw it downstairs. And I don't know. I thought that was strange. Nobody's talking about that. Why is all that stuff around the house? They need to, and I know that Tom's trying to get Anne to clean that house, but then we need to maybe hire some professional cleaners to get in there because you just got bones everywhere. So let's figure that out. And I'm glad she's getting out. She did. It just was revealed that she bought a new house. So she is moving out of that house. And I do think she was staying there, but then I don't know how much she was there. Like, I know she keeps saying living there, but I feel like she probably wasn't at that house much in this point of filming. And then, of course, we know she went to New York for Broadway. So I don't think she was there as much as maybe the people think she was there. However, we got to get Maya to safety and we got to get the takeout boxes cleaned. And also, I need to know exactly what kind of takeout that was, because now that we're talking about it, I need to know. Okay, so then Anne, speaking of Anne wants to go jump ship and go over to Ariana and do her assistant work. And I think that kind of says it all, right? Like, because Anne obviously has been in the house with both of them. And the fact that she's like so quickly ready to jump ship from that demon that she's assisting now and go to the ex, like that tells you a lot. That tells you a lot, I think. Then we have the scene with Tom and Lala at Creation. Now, Tom says he's on a sober bender. And so he invites Lala. They're having this scene together, which I don't know if they've ever had a scene together. And that's my other issue with Lala this season is like, she keeps telling us she's grown and everything, but then none of it is ringing true to me. That's my, I don't think it's being sold to me well. And that's the problem I'm facing with Lala, because she keeps saying the confessional and the scenes with these demons. She's like, you know, I just have to let go and I have to do this. It's like, I understand growth and letting go of anger and all that stuff. But I just still also think if you were growing the proper growth, I would guess that most professionals would advise somebody in a situation like that would be to draw boundaries with some of these people who have hurt your close friends. And so I'm not buying the like growth part of it. And I know it's a TV show and obviously producers probably sat them all down. It's like, look, we can't go forward with this show without you all filming with each other. But it's just everything with Lala, even Sheena, I can buy a little bit more because Sheena's always been a little bit of a riding the fence person, or you know, she always wants everybody to get along, all that stuff. So with Sheena, it doesn't ring as false. Even when they're doing like those bullshit back-to-back exercises they did in Tahoe that were like student council leadership retreat activities. So even when they were doing that, which was so set up by production, like I still felt like at least Sheena, that kind of tracks with what we know of Sheena. But with Lala, none of it is reading true to me. And she's selling it, but they're not selling in a good enough way, at least for me. And so I don't know if they need to get back to the the drawing board there or something, but maybe figure it out. Okay, so Schwartz is like talking. He's talking like me. He's talking a mile a minute at this creation place, but he does this baby voice all the time, obviously, but he did it with the cashier at the creation smoothie place. He's like getting the smoothie. He's like, thank you. All right, thank you. And it's like this weird baby voice, and I need it to stop. And we know Joe does it, and of course, Sheena was channeling Joe.
And I was like, oh.
But it's some weird, like, a lot of voice stuff happening. And I guess I do impressions on the show, so who the fuck am I to talk? But it still seems weird when we're having this grown man doing that baby voice. And we saw him do it with his wife, which was already gross enough to watch on camera when he was married to Katie Maloney. But now to see him doing it with the cashiers at these shops when he's ordering a smoothie, I'm like, Schwartz, you need to figure that out. I hate to say it. I hate to say it, especially with this voice I'm talking with these days. But I think he needs to figure out something. He needs to figure out something with that baby voice because it's too much. But they do vitamin shots. Tom talks about moderation with sobriety. I don't love the way they talk about sobriety on this show. I'll just say that. Schwartz says they all cheated. And this is where he reveals that he actually had made out with Shishi. That's right. And it happened when Sheena was with Shay, Mike Shay. May he live and prosper. Of course, we all remember when all of the pictures of Sheena and him were draped across her apartment. And so I will never forget that man. And she was with him, and Tom apparently at some thing like dragged Sheena away from making out with Ariana and then tried to kiss her. Sheena never told anyone, and they wanted to take it to the grave. And Sheena says she pulled away and was like, we're never talking about this again. But then Tom brings it up so randomly now, and I do love it. And Sheena said, they say it's like innocuous in Vegas, but maybe they all need to examine their relationship to cheating because I don't want to be judgmental. Cheating happens in all sorts of relationships, but I do believe that specifically heterosexual couples should maybe start exploring or talking about more open relationships. Because if I'm watching all of these straight couples cheating on each other, it seems to me like that could be a fix. And so maybe we need to stop applying these relationships to societal norms that maybe shouldn't be applied to societal norms. And I know this is like changing the whole history of the world, and it's going to be a hard thing to do. But heterosexual couples, maybe instead of cheating, you all need to talk to your significant other and at least explore that possibility or open up a dialogue about it, because it can't be every couple is cheating when you're telling each other you're in a monogamous relationship. Or at least sit down. If you're Schwartz, say like, I don't know if I'm equipped for a monogamous relationship. I'm going to make out with every single person that I see left, right, and center while I'm in a marriage. And so I just think they need to kind of reevaluate that. And so I'm not judging so much the cheating as I am these societal norms that are leading people to cheat, when maybe it would make sense for some of these couples to at least explore something outside of these norms that they're not able to adhere to. Anyway, Lala says she's over lying to people's faces. As she's saying that, I feel like she's lying to my face. I do. But she didn't know about Sheena, and she said, Katie don't know. And so she, in the next scene, invites Katie over to her apartment and decides to tell her. And she says, hey, Katie, guess what? Katie was wearing a business vest too, so I was a little distracted by that. She's wearing a lot of business chic this season, a lot of business wear on Katie Maloney. I don't know if you're noticing that this was like a business vest. And anyway, Lala, she didn't want to tell Sheena first because she thought Sheena would have an out. And so that's some good reality TV producing. And maybe that's the thing with Lala, is like so many of her moves this season feel like a producer's moves instead of a natural person's moves. And so not to say that a producer made her do it, but I almost feel like maybe Lala is putting on the producer hat, and it's a little too much. It's like it maybe needed to take off that ball cap. I like her dog though. The dog Lily, Lala's dog, does look like a grizzly bear. I mean, the dog was like all laid out on the ground, and I was like, that dog looks, I'm going to go like lay on that dog or cuddle with that dog. I mean, it just looks so cozy. Okay, so then DJ night. Joe is there doing her character reel for the bartender, lights up right when we get to this DJ night. And that's when Sheena, who's dressed like the hotel wallpaper, and she keeps talking about it when she walks in too, by the way. Did you notice when Sheena walked into that night at the, what was the location? I forget. But that hotel where DJ was DJing. she walks in and she kept telling everyone about her look. She kept talking about the look, and it did look like the hotel wallpaper. She's like, look, I look like this place, or I look like I fit in here. And then she was on one because she kept telling also people that she was going to get drunk that night. She's like, I don't ever drink, but I'm drinking now. And so, which is so me coded too, by the way, like, cause I don't drink much, but if I do, then I feel like I just talk about it all the time. And people are probably like, okay, we don't need to hear about it. So I understood that with Shishi. But then when she started bullying Joe, and she's like, Joe, you need to take off that stupid looking hat. And it was mean. And I don't know if I should even say this on a microphone. I shouldn't. I do think we use the term bullying way too much, and it's obviously overused. That said though, if I had to pick one person on Vanderpump Rules who I feel is maybe, this is horrible, you guys are going to cancel me. But the truth is, I think if there's one person on the show that's allowed to bully, it's Sheena Shea. I feel like Miss Azusa has been bullied enough throughout her life. I just could imagine her youth. We've even seen it on the show. Of course, the gals bullied her from day one on this show. And so I shouldn't say that. It's not right for anybody to bully. But I'd say if I had to pick one person on this show, it would either be Allie or Sheena. That's it. Those are the only two that I feel like they're allowed to bully. And I'm sorry to say that. I'm sorry. And by the way, I think we're all losing track of the fact that what Joe did was pretty sneaky and mischievous. And obviously she went to Big Bear with Rachel and Tom, and like she was in cahoots with all of this. So she knew all this stuff. And so I do think they're all right to hate her. And I feel like crazy that they're trying to make it the audience feel bad for her, when I'm like, I don't know that we should really actually feel bad for this person, because she seemed like she was doing some pretty demonic things behind everybody's back. So why would the girls like her? I don't understand that. And by the way, it's not just the gals bullying her, because it's also the Bravo editors. Those brilliant, beautiful Bravo editors are also bullying that woman, because there was a moment where Katie called her a rat girl. Which I never heard that insult before, but she's like, you're a rat girl. And immediately, do you notice this? They cut right to Joe, and she was making this like weird rat sound. She's like, ah. I don't know if I'm doing it right, but it was like a weird, like it felt like some Foley art from Ratatouille. You know, it was just like, blah, blah. I don't know how else to explain it. It was just something, or a little rat sound. And so that was the editors and production bullying Joe. And so I will not be bamboozled into thinking I'm the one who's bullying her for laughing at some of this stuff, when it's them all bullying her. Okay, so do not make me feel bad watching the show when it's all you guys bullying. But I do feel like they're trying to make us feel bad for Joe. And on some level, I get it. She's filming for the first time. That must be tough. But then everything she's saying and doing is like a little nuts. And I feel like, are we not supposed to call out that it's nuts? I mean, she's holding on to that crackhead comment. I mean, every week I'm hearing about her being a crackhead. And I feel like it's such an over-exaggerated word to use that it's like, we get it. You're not a crackhead. And so enough. We get it. We get it, Joe. And then she did this weird like thing where she plugged her ears and she's like, I'm in a drama free zone. And it's like, Joe, everything. I can't even wrap my head around this person. And I think that's why I like her so much on the show, truly, because I'm just on my toes when she's on screen. I'm on my toes. I can't even just sit back. Sometimes when I'm watching these shows, taking notes, sometimes I could just sit back and let it wash all over me. And I maybe miss some parts, whatever. Because I'm not paying as close attention. But when Joe's on screen, I am high alert. I am high ass alert. So we like that. And Katie is completely justified, I think. Katie specifically is justified. And so is Ariana, I think. But also all of these gals. It is weird, though, that like Sheena seems to be more upset with Joe than she is with Tom Sandoval. But that's a tale for another time. Then Allie actually also threw Joe under the bus. Because I think Allie was like starting to like Joe, but then she gets around all the other gals, and the other gals are like, no, she's a rat girl, and like, she's nuts, maybe on crack. And so then Allie's like, oh, well, I actually don't like her. You know, like Allie started throwing under the bus. I forget what she said. But Ariana points out that Joe was actually at Thanksgiving at their house. And then we see Joe run away crying with walking away, and Tom Schwartz chases after him. He's like, Joseph, Joseph. And Joe says she doesn't like being attacked and wants to go. And the truth is, maybe Joe's not cut up for a reality show. I wouldn't be either. I'd be crying on screen every week. Every single week on the show, if I was in the cast, I'd just be crying at something. I don't know what. Even if people weren't mean to me, I'd be crying for something. I mean, it must be a lot. So I feel bad. And not everyone could be equipped for this world of the show. And so maybe Joe needs to get a job somewhere else. And I don't know. Do something new. Then we see Sheena again, who's talking about all her drinking. She keeps getting a drink. She's like, here it goes. I'm drinking tonight. I'm drinking. And I was like, oh, oh. I'll never get over that.
And I was like, oh.
Oh! And then Lala tells Ariana about Tom and Schwartz and Sheena, which is interesting. And Ariana's first reaction is like, well, I was making out with Shishi. And they're just making out, apparently, in Vegas, just on the blackjack floor. And they should. They're so gorgeous. And they were, oh, well, wait, they weren't single at the time. That is sort of weird, though, isn't it? Like that Sheena was with somebody. I don't know. Young people do crazy things. I've been watching old seasons of The Real World on Netflix. There's an Austin one, which is such a time capsule. Even just looking at the wardrobe on that show, because it was 2005, I think, The Real World Austin. I've been watching it before bed. And it is weird, the dynamics between men and women, specifically straight men and women at that time. And it was so like they would make out with other women for the attention of the guys. And that really became a thing. I remember growing up in that era as a teen. It was like the young girls would do that, but it wasn't always because they liked it or they wanted to experiment or things like that. Oftentimes, it felt like they were doing it in service of these teenage boys. And I always thought it was like so weird, you know, I always thought it was so weird. You know, I struggled in high school. You know, a lot of people ask like when I came out, and I didn't come out until after college. And I largely attribute that to I wasn't attracted to any of the boys in my high school. Like, I just thought they were all, I wasn't attracted to not a one, like not a lick of them. And so when I look back and I talk to some other gay friends and they're like, I had a crush on this guy, a crush on that guy. I'm like, God bless. Not interested. Not interested. I just want to hang out with the gals and talk shit about those boys. Okay. So then let's see. Tom comes over to talk to Ariana. That's right, about the house. So he walks up in that aloe hat, that aloe yoga hat, which I tweeted aloe yoga because I think they're making a big mistake here. Not only with all of the product placement on Tom. And if you notice, they don't wear logoed clothing. So there has to be some sort of deal. Either they're, somebody might be paying. I don't know. This is all alleged. Everything I say in this podcast is alleged. But either somebody's paying, or at least I feel like they would have had to get approval, right? Because if you notice, they don't wear logoed clothing. And they usually tell you when you show up to shoots for reality TV, even if you're in the background or other shows, they say no logos, no brand names, no logos, right? So unless it has to get approved. So Aloe Yoga would have had to approve that. And like, in what world was Aloe Yoga thinking like, we should approve Tom Sandoval right after Scandoval the season after to let him wear all this shit? Not only that, over on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Splits Richards over there, she also had that aloe scene on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And I'm thinking, you guys are just backing the wrong Bravo celebrity. So I tweeted them, you guys. I tweeted Aloe Yoga and I said, you guys, look, you need to figure this out. Because if you need some advice on what Bravo celebrities, and I'm only saying that as someone who's, I'm pissed because I just told you I recently got a bunch of aloe yoga stuff to work out in, and I got the same hats that Tom's wearing every scene on this show. And I can't return it anymore. They better extend their return policy if they're going to keep putting their aloe merch on the Bravo celebrities that I'm not interested in looking like. I'm sorry. Hey, who's over there? Who's over there? Give me a call. I mean, we want to get this back on track. Okay. Let's see. We got this awkward. Oh, Ariana says that the lawyer's got the thing. She's not talking to him. I wish she would just talk to him. I wish she would. I get it. But also, it's all awkward and weird. And then Lala's also talking shit about Ariana in the confessional. She says the brand deals are good. She should leave. And I thought, yeah, you know, the brand deals are good because you are also making them. He's also getting them. One thing though about the brand deals, I don't know if everyone knows how they work, but they're usually like net 90. So you get paid oftentimes like 3 months after, you know, that could change. Sometimes it could be net 60. Some deals could be net 30, but I'd say most of the time it's like a net 60 or 90. So that means you do the deal, you finish the deal, you post it. And then 90 days after you would get the payment. And so I don't know. I just see people speculating about like timelines and getting a house. And now that Ariana got this new house, people are saying, well, how, if you didn't sell the old house, how did you get money? And it's like those brand deals she was doing, especially post right after Scandoval, she might not have been paid out for a while. It might've been 3 months post, like for Duracell and all those ones that she was doing. Those are big companies, big campaigns. So we're talking like a lot of money, but it would have taken a few months to get that money. So I don't know. I just saw people speculating about timelines and purchases and stuff. And I felt like I should maybe shed some light on those brand deals, but they were good brand deals. And all of the cast was getting good brand deals at that time. And still to this day, because these companies, it makes sense to align with Vanderpump Rules. And by the way, I'm also seeing online people saying, like, this is the end for Vanderpump Rules because it's been a bit of a flop season. But this show is not going anywhere. It's their cash cow right now. It's literally the highest, I think the highest, especially in, like, the important demos, the highest rated show on the network. And now so is that Valley show. The ratings were great, especially compared to a lot of these other shows that they're having trouble launching. So there's, it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. At least for a few more seasons. Even if creatively we're in the gutter, this show is coming back. Like, they need this show. But by the way, I do think this episode was really good. Okay, so then Tom talks to T. He asks her on a date. Then we see Katie and Sheena. And Sheena says, so Katie confronts Sheena about the kiss. And Sheena says it happens. It happened when she got engaged to Shay. And Sheena says she made out with Ariana. And Katie says that Sheena is only joking now about it. And because it's so after the fact. And I do think that Sheena probably should have said something. I mean, especially like maybe around the wedding or since the wedding, I just feel like Sheena should have maybe told her that. And I do understand Katie being extra pissed about it because I think she said this in the after show, but like with Tom making out with a stranger, it doesn't feel as personal, but when it is somebody you know, and especially somebody that you're around so much, a coworker, someone you call a friend, I feel like that's like devious that other people, that the friend group you hang around with, two of the people at least know that they kissed each other and you're married and they don't, haven't told you. Like, I think there's something kind of fucked up about that. Like, I would be pissed. Even though Katie's moved on from this demon and they're no longer married, I still understand her being pissed. And I'm glad she was more pissed at Schwartz than Shishi, but Shishi should have said something. I'd have been pissed. Then we have this scene with Lala, James, and Schwartz. James is wearing a very jazzy jacket. Like, he's Liza Minnelli in the opening of Sex and the City 2, and I appreciate that about him. We learned a lot about DJ James Kennedy's style this week. He styles Allie, and then he puts on that Liza Minnelli jacket and hops on over the DJ booth and puts on a show. He's a showgirl. Then Schwartz says that Joe had an anxiety attack. Again, maybe she's not equipped for this. Maybe not. All right, let's take a quick break here. And then we're going to have to come back and talk for at least 45 minutes about Tom and that breath work he was doing when he was just like, that demon was being exorcised from his body. But unfortunately, I still think it's in there. Anyway, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and talk about that. Find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And thank you to Acast. We'll be right back. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. And we're back.
And I was like, oh.
All right, we have this scene with Tom doing the breath work at his house. And Lala arrives in heels and a camouflage sweatshirt while Tom is huffing and puffing. And it's truly crazy. And I don't believe that Lala would show up here. This is another situation where I haven't seen the two of you in a scene alone together. I don't believe since you joined this show. So in what world now are you just showing up to this person's house after he did all this thing to your friend? I mean, it's like just giving very much like producer. And so again, even if it's not a producer telling her to do this, I'm going to just need her to just maybe examine for next season, her path forward. I also feel crazy because did you guys see that interview with Andy Cohen where he says like, Lala's the reasonable one. He's like, I saw the rest of the second half of the season. And he says something about how like Lala's the reasonable one. And I'm like, in what world are you, is he watching a different show? Or maybe there's still plenty to come. So maybe he's seeing things that we haven't seen yet. But as I'm watching this, I'm like, I don't get it. But Tom Sandoval is having this emotional orgasm as he's doing this breath work. I mean, he's really edging with bronchitis because he was just losing his voice as he was screaming in this house. And then Tom and Lala decide to talk outside. She says she's forgiven him. And they both point out that they were never actually friends. So I'm thinking, why isn't there more loyalty to Ariana when seemingly the two of you are friends? But Lala says she annihilates all straight men in her path because of Randall fucking her up. And so she don't want to do that anymore. And again, I just say, you don't have to do that, but you can just also don't have to be best friends with this guy. Anyway, Tom says he wants to invest in a friendship with Lala. So maybe they will become friends. And maybe at the end of the season, this will all make sense to all of us. But it doesn't right now, especially because was it just last week or maybe the week before when she called him a groomer? And so it's like, well, if you think he's a groomer, I don't know why. It's not tracking to me. So get back to the drawing board and sell it to me better. Sell it to me better. Help me help you. Then we have this scene at the sandwich shop, which probably is never opening. They make sandwiches for no one because I don't know who can order these sandwiches. Although I am hearing rumors that they're going to be doing some like Uber Eats promotion where you could buy the sandwiches on Uber Eats and get them delivered at least before they open. But I'm going to need to open it. I don't know that it should take this long. I know there's permits and stuff, but a whole year. And then to be doing these sandwich tasting, I was actually glad that they called it out on screen. They were like, we've already done this. Lala's like, we're going to fast forward. And then James, that's when James called, said Tom likes a sloppy. DJ James Kennedy said that Tom Schwartz likes a sloppy Joe. And that did make me laugh. James is funny sometimes. He's funny most of the time. Then everyone goes to Sir after eating these sandwiches they've already tried a year prior. So then Lala tells Ariana that she was over her house and Ariana's not happy. And I think she's realizing now that the other cast members are filming with him and she's the one being wedged out of the group. And so she says to Lala, she's like, I wasn't home because I was at the vet. She says he shut Maya in her room with the takeout and it was a $6,000 bill. And look, this is why she needs to move out. You got a safety for Maya. And she says she can't talk to Tom because if she does, she'll slit his throat. And then LVP arrives and she tries these sandwiches again and she can't even believe that they're not open yet. And so then Katie, as she's sitting down and giving LVP and Weekend at Bernie's the sandwiches, which by the way, they were presenting the sandwiches on one of those three tiered plates. I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the show, but I do love a three-tiered plate. Over the holidays, I got one at Williams-Sonoma, like this three-tiered nightmare or night before Christmas, not nightmare. It was night before Christmas, like the old classic tale. And it was like this three-tiered thing from Williams-Sonoma. It was like my most prized possession over the holiday season. I just love it. Putting little snacks on there, little treats. There's nothing classier. There isn't. I feel like it's the epitome of class. And so if you don't have a three-tiered thing to serve little sandwiches or something on when people come over, you need to go invest in one. I know sometimes you might look at the price tag and think, woo! And that's how I feel all the time these days. But it might be something to think about investing in, a three-tiered decorative plate for serving. Think about it. Think about it. Ladies, am I right? Okay, so then LVP and, yeah. Oh, so when LVP finds out about Sheena and Schwartz making out, she's like, Schwartz and Sheena? Schwartz and Sheena? And then Tom Schwartz comes by and LVP's like, I can't believe you made out with Sheena. She always adds an R to Sheena's name. And then Katie says, you fumbled so hard and now you got a sloppy Joe. So this is, I guess, what everybody's calling Joe now, is sloppy Joe. And then Ariana and Katie, they just both really just make fun of Schwartz and yell at Schwartz in front of LVP and Ken, which made me laugh. And then Tom Schwartz decides to go over and talk to Thighs. He decides to go talk to Brock. And that's when Brock reveals that Katie left the party that he was at with Max and that they fucked. Yeah, so messy. And I love this messy version of Brock because we need to get something else going. Sheena just decided to check Max's location because she was curious. She checked again the next day and she says she has 56 friends' locations turned on her phone. Now, I don't know if I should be saying on this on microphone, but I do have Sheena Shea's cell number. And I don't know if she has my number saved, but I did have to go in and look. I was like, I wonder if she, like, am I sharing my location? Like, is Sheena following me right now? But I don't believe so. But I don't even actually understand how that feature works on the phone. So many of you could be following my location. I don't fucking know. I don't. There's a lot of things on my phone. I just learned how to do not disturb now. It's my favorite feature on the phone. But there's a lot of things I feel like I don't. Do you guys use the do not disturb? I fucking love it. I just leave it on all day now. I'm not interested in texting. I'm not good at texting anymore. I don't like texting. I don't even want to look at it anymore, the phone. Anyway, then at Sir, Tom Sandoval arrives looking like a gay Woody from Toy Story with tea. And they just came from bowling where he did this dance. I don't know if I've ever talked about Tom Sandoval's dancing before, but my boyfriend, Matt, he does this impression of Tom Sandoval dancing, and it's this one move, and I don't even know how to explain it exactly, but Matt always does it, and now every time Sandoval's on screen, I feel like he does this one little dance move where it's sort of like a frozen robot-y thing, but God, it makes me laugh. Oh, it makes me laugh so fucking hard when Matt does it, but then I see it on the show, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's so right, and it's sort of this like douchey guy dance move. I think a lot of guys do it. I probably do it too, because, you know, we all have that one dance move. I think I'm more of like a finger clicker, but Sandoval does this like weird, I don't even know how to explain it. I'll get a video footage of either Matt doing it or Tom doing it and post it somewhere, because it really cracks me up every time. And we did see a little flashback of him bowling where he did like a similar like dance and just cracked me up. But we didn't even ultimately see much of this date with him and T. And I thought, wait, we forced him to go on this date with T, and then we didn't even get to see anything other than him dancing in the bowling alley. Which, by the way, you got to be careful with Tom. Safety first. When you're on those bowling lanes, it's slippery. And so you can't just be doing your moves willy-nilly. You got enough things to worry about. And so, I don't know. I hate to... I got to tell him, look out, Tom. You don't want to do that. No dancing on the bowling lanes. And then, okay, Brock tells... this was funny. When Brock met T, he told her that she looks like a little T-pig. Oh, this show is so stupid. I love it. I love it. So Thighs tells T that she looks like a teabag. And then Sheena and Ariana ultimately go meet T. And they're just like grilling her. They're like, how old are you? And she says, 25. And Ariana says, that makes sense. And then she says, don't waste your time with a 41-year-old narcissist. And I just have to point out the age keeps changing. You notice that? So Sheena's mad at Thighs for telling Max... or telling the situation about Max. But I ultimately don't think Sheena is that mad. I think she's probably a little bit excited that we got some new stuff going on. So Sheena probably did coach Thighs right before they arrived at this place. And she's like, hey, bring it up and then I'm going to come yell at you. And so that was good. By the way, you know I love Katie, but I do have to point out that she went from fucking the owner and namesake of TomTom to fucking the operating manager of TomTom, who got fired from the TV show they're on for being racist. So the bar is low. The bar is in hell, quite frankly. And I'm going to need the gals to raise it up. We need to raise up that bar. You raise me up so I can stand on my feet. You know, raise that bar, ladies. Raise that bar. I'm rooting for you, but we need to raise that bar. Some of these people you need to say no to. Say no, get out of the house. Get out of the apartment. I'm not interested in fucking you under this disco ball that I left over from our marriage. Not okay. Brock says there's a double standard. I actually don't really feel there is a double standard. Even Lala being like so pissed and confused. I just felt like, I think actually they should be mad at Max, because Katie, by this point in the thing, her ex-husband had cheated on her a million times in the marriage. Then she divorces him. She asks for some boundaries. He hooks up or makes out with the person that she asked him not to in the friend group and says, please don't hook up with anyone in the friend group. He does anyway. So at that point, I feel like all bets are off. Katie can go fuck anyone she wants. She can fuck Ken. I don't care who she's fucking. Because at that point, all bets are off. Like, this man did everything to her. So if Max is Tom's best friend, which we're also using that term really loosely now these days, I feel like, who's his best friend? Is it Jax? Is it Sandoval? Is it Max? Is it Katie? Like, who the fuck is his best friend? So I don't know that there's a double standard. I actually think that Tom Schwartz did all these awful things to his ex-wife, and now she finally just had it, and she's not playing by anybody's rules because she's fucked about it. But Max is the one I think that Tom Schwartz should be mad at, and that the people should be like, oh, that's kind of fucked up for Max to have sex with Katie, right? Like, I think that'd be the person to be mad about. And then Lala storms out because she's annoyed. Anyway, next week on the show, we get Ariana's flipping out. And I know it's good now, you guys. It is. It is. These people got messy again. And I'm just feeling, I don't know, I'm having fun in the muck. It felt like we were really in the muck this week. And I think it is the Valley being on right after VPR. And VPR, a lot of the cast members are sort of like back in apartments. And there's new cheating scandals. Plus, Joe's energy is very kind of early season Vanderpump Rules mucky. And the Valley is so mucky. I mean, it's just like these awkward couples in the Valley. But I was having so much fun watching these trashy shows this week. I really was. I was rolling around in the mud with the pigs, and I loved it. I loved it. I know a lot of people are upset about the Valley. We're going to talk about it, because Jax, I know he's a demon, and Brittany too, and we thought they were gone, and now they sort of clawed their way back on TV. But I can't be the morality police anymore, because I had a good time crawling in the mud with all of them this week. And the truth is, they might be terrible people, but most people on the network are. And the sooner we all accept that they're all en route on a first-class ticket to hell, Not to mention, many of them have had, are having, or will have a layover in jail. The sooner we can all start to heal. So let's all just watch what happens live, enjoy our stories, and know that one day we may come to regret this decision. But right now, we're hanging on by dental floss, and the only way that thread won't break is if we get to watch Brittany Rottenhell Cartwright sit in a negligee across from her friends at a tequila-fueled mom's night hosted near a major Los Angeles freeway in homes that cost roughly 40% less than properties would if we were watching a show called Selling Sunset. You raise me!
Rottenhill.
We got to take one more quick break. Go to everythingiconic.store for Everything Iconic merch. We have It's All Happening temporary tattoos. We have great t-shirts, and you can get my signed copies of my book, everythingiconic.store. You can go there now.
Yeah. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
All right, let's go take a valley detour.
I don't want my ex-boyfriend around me or my family.
Listen, I'm trying
what
to
let... What is so difficult
Kristen,
for everyone to understand?
Jack's actually had good intentions.
How is it? Relax,
I'm going to tell you, he wants everybody to be okay to hang out.
Alex and I started dating when I was still on Vanderpump. Months later, when everything essentially crashed and burned, Alex belittled me. He made me feel really small. He thought I was kind of a loser, has-been reality star. Not something you want to hear from your boyfriend.
He is coming around my friend.
Jax has been friends with Alex for a long time.
Why do you act like he's friends with Alex, Brittany?
Oh my God. Because he is.
All right, I don't want to talk too much about looks or anyone specifically, but I do want to point out that a lot of the show The Valley is feeling very AI-coded. I'm not just talking about some of the cast members that I still don't understand whose name they are or some of these couples. I'm like, who are they? But I'm also noticing there's some do you ever go online and you see some of the images created by AI? And if you see a person image created by AI, it's like sometimes they have less, or they have like a foot coming out of their arm. You know, it's like the AI hasn't quite figured out how to draw the humans exactly yet. And I'm noticing on Vanderpump Rules, sometimes some of the ways that people are talking, some of the hair systems on this show, like there's some things that are reading very AI to me, where you look at the screen and you're like, that doesn't look like a human head or the way humans normally traditionally do things. And so I'm not sure exactly what's going on, and I don't want to point out specifics, but I think most of you know what I'm talking about. And I don't know if it is actual AI or if this is just the way these people are, but there's something going on that I feel like we're going to need to keep our eyes and ears on. And even Brittany, I know she just did the chin thing, but she's sort of talking through a frown now, and it's a little bit distracting. And not only that, but she was wearing that negligee as I was watching her sit down at that tequila-fueled mom's night. And I'm like, what is happening with Brittany? Like, I don't quite, it's hard for me to wrap my head around. She's a gorgeous woman. And it also makes me think of that demon Jax, because Brittany has been saying in interviews and stuff I've been hearing, and they've been having troubles with her and Jax, and she's saying they're not having sex and he's the one to have sex with her. And I think we're going to learn more about that throughout the season. But if she has changed her looks even further for that man, guys, it pisses me off. It pisses me off because we saw on the show years ago, remember she got the boob job and he was deciding what kind of size boobs she was going to have. And it was like so disgusting, misogynistic. And now she's doing, I support anyone doing whatever the fuck they want with their bodies. If they want to do chin things or face things or fillers and do whatever you want to do. I have a problem when it's like in service of the man, in an effort to get the man's attention to hook up with her when she's his wife. That's where I have a problem. So I don't know. She didn't say that Tom or Jax was the one who encouraged her to do this surgery or whatever, but I will not stand for it if we ever find out that's the case. Moving on, let's talk about Kristen. Now, her ex, Alex, broke up with her 7 times. I don't understand how this happens. And they were like moving in and out of apartments, and he convinced her to sell the house. I mean, that guy, Alex, I'm not talking about the new one, Luke. Luke seems like a genuinely smart, well-adjusted man, and I'm very happy with her and Luke. I really like that man so far. I mean, I do. He seems calm, cool, and collected. Does not seem maybe fit for reality TV. Does not seem like someone Kristen would normally date. And that seems like a good thing for her. But I'm happy for her to find Luke, because this other man, Alex, I can't even imagine breaking up 7 times. What the fuck is that? How does that even happen? I don't get it. I don't get it. We opened this week, though, with Jax and Kristen talking about the titty twister situation. That's right. She gave a guy a titty twister last week on the show, Jesse. And then Jesse went back and gave her a titty twister, which really is the strangest thing I think I've ever seen on Bravo. Am I wrong? Of course, we've seen legs thrown at restaurants. We've seen table flips. But we saw a woman accuse another woman of smelling like hospital. Like, there's been a lot of things on this show. Many of our fallen soldiers have gone to prison or are currently serving time in prison. And yet, the titty twister thing is crazy, right? Like, it's so small and weird, but then also when you really, like, step back and think about it, it's nuts. And I have sensitive nipples. Don't titty twist my nips, okay? Stay away. Stay away. Stay away. I'm not interested because they're sensitive. I don't like it. But then the fact that this man who's married and at a party on camera, who didn't even have an op camera, this happened on camera, you guys. He was framed and mic'd. And yet he still decided to give this gal who's in a relationship with another man on the show a titty twister. And it's crazy. It's really the craziest thing. And so I don't feel like everybody's acknowledging how crazy it is, but it is fucking nuts. It's fucking nuts. We have a scene at the WeHo Park with Jesse and Michelle. Are they the ones? They're the ones who broke up, I think. Their daughter, Isabella, was super cute. But I don't like him. I'm choosing to side with her. I always side with the women. And let me tell you something. It's a smart thing to do. It's a smart thing to do, to side with the women on these shows, because believe me, it's bitten me in the ass way too many times when you side with the men. So be careful out there. Careful out there. Again, they're all monsters. But then we have Kristen and Luke. They're on a hike. I think it's like a Fryman. I think they were at Fryman Canyon, or were they at Renin Canyon? I don't know. There's a hiking trail here where I see Harry Hamlin all the time. Like, literally, I've probably seen him 10 times, Harry Hamlin. I've even seen him, like, walk with Rinna. And I'm always afraid to say something, you know. And Harry Hamlin's honestly one of my arch nemeses. Not because he did anything wrong to me, but I did do my first red carpet. It was the 80 for Brady premiere months and months ago, maybe a year ago. And I went on the red carpet and I accidentally wore the same thing as Harry Hamlin. And he's like 30 years older than me, maybe more. And he still looked better. And so that was troubling. That was troubling. So he became my arch nemesis in that moment, all thanks to the 80 for Brady movie premiere. Never been able to get over that. If you search pictures, it's like Harry Hamlin and I wearing the same outfits. So that was tough. But anyway, yeah, they're on a hike. And I kept thinking, what if Harry Hamlin was just like walking in the background? I would love that. Or Rinna just walking in the background. That'd be a crossover event. Kristen's 40, though. She's worried about pregnancy. And I do love, Kristen's made for reality TV. Her and Jax both, they really are. Even if you hate them, they're really good at this specific art form. And so I like Kristen being back, and I do want the best for her. And I've always kind of rooted for Kristen. It's like, you know, you want the best for these people, don't you? Am I the only one who wants the best for Kristen? I don't know. I do. But Luke's pissed that someone twisted his gal's nipple. And so he's going to raise hell over that. Meanwhile, Jax and Brittany, we see them at home, and guess who's there? Sherry. That's right. Frosted Lip Sherry is at Jackson Brittany's house. And I saw her in the background. It was truly so terrifying. I was like, who the fuck is that? Whose teased hair is that? Whose teased hair, kitten heel, and frosted lip is that in the background? And it's like, oh, that's Sherry, Brittany's mom. Forgot about her. Remember, she was on the show and she's a lot of troubling views about homosexuality. But she's tending to Cruz. And I would like to see more of Cruz and Sherry, quite honestly. I hate to say that, but I would. I feel like with Cruz, though, and I want to see, like, let's sit me down with Cruz. He looks like a cute kid. I kind of like seeing the kids. I don't know if that's very popular. I don't need a lot of the kids, but I would like us to, like, get some eyes and ears on the kids, like, every once in a while. Like, a little scene with them is fun. Because I don't know if I've seen much of Cruz. So I don't follow them on social media. And so I'm like, give us a little some. And then Jason and Janet, who really are my favorites on the show, you know, I love them. And they're planning their nursery. They're kind of in their own separate storylines, getting ready for the baby. And there was like some cute moments where, I don't know, they're talking about planning their family and stuff. I don't know. I just thought they were really cute. And I like, Jason is so fucking hot too, by the way. So hot. And so is Janet, of course. But yeah, they just are fun. I like them. And I like that they are able to bring in some comedic relief. Then we have this jiu-jitsu scene. Kristen, Michelle, and is it Nia or Naya? Nia? I think it's Nia. Nia talks, though, about she was doing pageants, and she said one of the guys from the pageant tried to touch her, but she's a black belt, and so she fucked him up. And so don't fuck with Nia. She'll fuck you up. If you would have twisted her nipple, believe you me, it would have flipped you right on over with that nip. I mean, no one would survive that. And so I just hope these guys watch out. Jesse, watch out. Don't do no titty twisters with Nia, because she'll fuck you up. And now that she brought these other gals to jiu-jitsu, you're going to get fucked up no matter what. They're all going to throw you over because you don't be twisting their nipples. And then let's see, we have the boys doing hockey. Oh, this is what made me laugh when Jason couldn't play hockey. And it's like, he's hot though, so who cares? I love him. And he says he has sensitive nips too, so me and him would be a good match. Sorry to say it, Janet. Sorry to say it. Jax says he hasn't played in 3 years. Remember that whole thing with Jax was like going to go to Florida to do social media for hockey? Like, what the fuck was that? He said that and we were all like, oh.
And I was like, oh.
Oh. He's like, I'm going to go to Florida and do social media for a hockey team. Oh. I was like, ow. Ow. Anyway, there's this, hockey. Jax says he wants to invite Kristen's ex to guy's night, which is the craziest fucking thing. And that's why Jax is good TV. I'm sorry. Then we have Janet doing some baby shopping with Jasmine and Brittany. And and Janet's overwhelmed by all the baby stuff. I kind of want to buy baby stuff. I think I'm a little bit of baby fever. It looked fun to shop. This is the Valley making me want kids. Then we have Danny and Nia's condo. Nia's pageant coaching now. Maybe we should abolish pageants. Do we really need pageants? I mean, how the fuck is a DDZ Discovery Zone closed, but pageants are still around? That doesn't make, that can't compute in my head. I can't go to a DZ Discovery Zone. Chuck E. Cheese's are closed all across the nations. I can't even go to a Boston Market. They closed all the Boston markets around me. So I can't get some cornbread and some mashed potatoes at a Boston Market alongside my turkey slice. But I can go to a pageant. I mean, maybe we just figure something else out for these pageants. Do something else at that time. I don't know that we need them. Do we? I mean, God bless. I guess people would say they give you scholarships and all this stuff. So that's good. But shouldn't, I don't know. It all seems so backwards. Anytime they show Danny getting pantsed, though, I do realize, because they show a lot of flashbacks to this man getting pantsed, and I already pointed out that he was wearing like a very long, what seemed to be nightgown length shirt. So when he was pantsed, it went over his you know what. But I do have to point out in the flashbacks, I'm noticing that like when he was pantsed, Jax's face really was inside of his ass. I mean, it was basically there, only separated by a small negligee that he was wearing underneath his pants. So Jax's face was like right up in there. And so anyway, I just had to point that out. And Nia is mad at Brittany for making excuses about it. So then they decide to do a guy's night and a girl's night. And so I wrote my notes, you guys. I wrote my notes that I'm sort of attracted to Luke in the scene with his top and his beard. I wasn't expecting that because ultimately I never found Luke attractive until this very moment in the scene. But he's being very dramatic about the nipple thing. And I think he's right to be. I think he's right to be. And he's going to be good TV. And he is winning me over, especially over the other guys, because Jesse, did you notice this? Jesse ordered a skinny girl margarita. That's right. Bethany comes into our lives again, despite the fact that none of us want it or asked for it. Every time I hear that skinny girl, I can't help but think of that person. Anyway, Luke says to Jesse, like, you grabbed her boob. Like, you do not grab a boob. And Jesse's like, I don't remember that. And Luke's like, well, you owe an apology. It's on camera. And then meanwhile, Jax is over there and he's talking about how he's friends with all his exes. And it's like, you're only friends with all of your exes because you're on a TV show. Like in real life, no one's friends with their exes. No, it's not normal to be friends with your exes. It's just that maybe there's a random situation that it works. But for the most part, especially if you're not having kids or something together, you just aren't friends with your exes. But in the world of reality TV, it's like so fucked up that all these people are just friends with their exes. I truly would never film with one of Matt's exes, or I wouldn't expect him to film with one of my exes. Like, I wouldn't do a show with an ex. And I know they're all in a hell of their own making. Again, we've said that all the time. It's like, I look at Splits Richards, and it's so, you know, her new, that other show with Mauricio, and she's on that, Buying Beverly Hills, and they got the daughters on it. And I find it so kind of like, I don't know, I find it kind of sad that like the daughters are now in reality TV, and it looks like they're all doing well career-wise, like really, really well, but it just kind of concerns me because it's like we've seen everything that the Kyle and her sisters have gone through because of reality television. It's like, why are you doing this? Like, you're rich. the agency is very successful. I don't think they needed the TV show. So it's like you're already in a hell of your own making, and now it feels like you're pushing the daughters into the hell of their own making. And it's just like, this is dark-sided. It would be different if I had watched Kyle on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and she seemed like everything was great, never had fights with her sisters or siblings or anything. But really, throughout the years, we've seen that family go through hell and back. And I just think, like, now the daughters are getting in on it. Like, how much money is enough? Like, why are you even doing it? Ugh, I don't know. I find that all, like, dark-sided. But I don't know. It's a deal with the devil, I guess. A deal with the devil. Okay, so then, meanwhile, at Girls' Night with Brittany and the Negligee, Zach is there. I wish Zach had some other gays to interact with. See, when they got there, they were like, it's girls' night and mom's night. And I was like, what about the gay who's standing right there? Who's not a mom or a gal? You know, like, what's going on? I feel bad for him. Anyway, Brittany apologizes for Jax constantly. And that's a cursed life herself. She's cursed by having to apologize for this man. And she's in her own hell. They're all in hell. And then the guys' night, I do sort of need, like, maybe a Peter or a Tom, someone recognizable. I don't know. I felt like I needed somebody else in this guys' night because I'm feeling that the guys are kind of flopping a little bit. I'm a little more intrigued this week about Nia and Michelle, but I don't know. The guys aren't really hitting for me. I needed in the guys' night, I need somebody else. And Alex arrived, and I don't know what the fuck he was wearing. I mean, just go back and look because it was enough. I would have understood if Kristen left him after showing up at the house wearing what he was wearing. Kristen probably said,
I want a divorce.
I mean, that outfit. It's like, what, with that hat? And what the fuck do I know? Then we cut to the girls doing shots. Brittany does a lot of shots, right? Like, her in the shots with the tequila, she's always looking for a shot. Then Brittany tells Kristen Alex is going to be at this guy's night, and Kristen's pissed. She's just trying to draw the same boundary that Ariana is over in Vanderpump Rules. And Alex says he lent her money and sold her house for free, but he convinced her to sell the house. She should have kept the house. And now interest rates are so high, she would have been better off if she kept that fucking house. So actually, it sounds like you're a terrible real estate agent, allegedly. I mean, why is he bragging about that? And like, he lent her money and stuff and then sold a house for free. Who cares? You shouldn't have sold that house. You should have given her better realty advice. I mean, what, we're going to salute you for helping her sell the house that she shouldn't have sold because you broke up with her 7 times and you probably should have had the emotional maturity to know that she shouldn't sell the house if you're going to keep breaking up with the poor girl. I mean, what the fuck? Ah, this Alex. I fucking hate, now that we're talking about him, I fucking hate him more than ever. I'm pissed at him, not only for that outfit, but also for that. He says, is he a realtor? I guess that's because he's a realtor, right? He sold the house for free. But then he lived in the house. Ugh, he's sketchy. I don't trust that man. I don't trust him. And then Kristen reveals that he left her because he thought she was washed up after she got fired for racism from the other show that she was on. So, and then Brittany says, well, what are we supposed to do? And Kristen's like, I don't give a shit, Brittany. And then then the show says, like, 5 minutes later, and there's all this drama. I'm sorry, the Valley's giving. I'm into it. It's giving. It's giving me something, and I'm invested, and I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the muck, sorry to say. Did you see that news? There's another new show, you guys, and an Amazon show hosted by Daniel Tosh. Did you see this? Kristen Doty's going to be on it. Jill Zarin's going to be on it. It's called The Goat. It looks sort of like House of Villains. Did you see that show on E? Or it looks like a little bit like Traitors, where it's like they threw all these reality TV people. I really wish they would let me in there, like just to, because I felt like I know so much dirt on all of these people from watching all of these shows, even outside of the Bravo world. I'm like, God, if you would just let me get in there, I feel like I'd get some good stuff out of them. Like, what the fuck does Daniel Tosh know about these shows? No offense to him. Who, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but Daniel Tosh and Ariana dated. Everything leads back to Scandal. And so Kristen's going to be on the show. I mean, will that be addressed? See, if you put me in there, even if I was one of the contestants, I could be like, Daniel Tosh, what's going on? Like, what are your thoughts on Scandal? You know, I'd get some dirt in there. I feel like they need me to get in. Let me in there, coach. Like, get in some answers. I feel like, no, who's going to ask that question? Jill Zarin's going to ask him about it? I don't think so. I mean, I can pray. I can certainly hope. Anyway, you guys, that's the show. I love you all so much for listening. Do we have anything else to talk about? We talked about that show. What else? I just read Penny Marshall's memoir. I can recommend that. It's from years ago. I love a good celebrity memoir. It's from years ago. And even if you're not interested in, like, the early parts of her life, you can skip to halfway through. That's one of the things I've learned with celebrity memoirs is sometimes I just want to skip to halfway through to, like, when they started making stuff. And let me tell you something, when it gets going, It's so good. I mean, Penny Marshall, of course, we know from Laverne and Shirley. And one page, she's talking about trying to get Spielberg to take Quaaludes with her. And then, like, the next page, she's like, yeah, then I fucked Art Garfunkel. I mean, it's like this beautiful whiplash, so I just have to recommend that. What else do I have to say? Oh, the Dancing with the Stars of it all. We've been talking about Sheena wanting to go Dancing with the Stars, and I would like to just publicly encourage the ABC executives that there could be really something funny if Dancing with the Stars for next season were to hire someone like an Allie or a Joe instead of Sheena. I mean, if they want a storyline, like, that would be good for both shows. Like, that would be a great storyline for Dancing with the Stars. It would get them a lot of press because it would also get them, like, Bravo press, because then it would be a big storyline on Vanderpump Rules again. And so it'd be, like, really good for both of them. Plus, it'd be so, wouldn't it be so funny to watch? Could you imagine how Sheena would self-explode if they were like, oh, yeah, dancing the rumba is Joe? She would be livid. Livid. You guys, it would be such good TV. Or Allie. Put Allie on there, please. I'm begging the Dancing with the Stars people to just do it. Please. Please. For me. Okay. I better go lay down or something, or try to get the steroid shot out of my system, because I do feel like I'm going to run through a wall. I love you all so much for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk next week, I think. I don't know. We might. Is it Easter week? Maybe we'll take off. I don't know. Look at the podcast feed, and we'll try our best. I'm going to try to get a guest in here for an upcoming recap, maybe. Just someone to have some fun with. And then I have some other fun guests coming on. I know we've been doing one episode a week. So the plan going forward is to still keep doing our one episode a week, but then sometimes there might be some bonus episodes. Like if I get a fun guest that I want to talk to or something like that, we'll throw them in the feed as well. But I'm excited. I have some fun guests coming up, but I just wanted to know, our Bravo episode is still going to stay the same, and there won't be two episodes every week. We're still committing to one episode per week about Bravo, where I cover two shows. And then if there's additional episodes, it's sort of like the cherry on top. Or sometimes if I have to go out of town or I'm not able to do the recap, maybe those interviews will be instead of those recaps, only when I cannot do them. Okay. I love you all so much for listening. Bye-bye.